Welcome to the first in a series of podcasts that will appear on zoomorphosis.com. The aim of these podcasts is to present short introductions to the various ways in which Blake has been used by artists, writers and musicians since his death in 1827, sometimes drawing on research I am doing, at other times reflections on aspects of Blake's reception that have attracted my attention. This first podcast will focus on one particular version of Blake's most famous poem, the stanzas beginning, "And did those feet," which is more commonly known as the hymn Jerusalem. Blake wrote his verses as part of the epic poem Milton sometime between 1804 and 1811, those words being set to music by Hubert Parry in 1916. Since that time, the hymn has often been invoked for political purposes, both by left and right, but one of the most extraordinary versions was issued by the industrial group Test Department in 1990. Pax Britannica, the album on which Jerusalem appears, was the seventh studio album released by Test Department and is subtitled An Oratorio in Five Movements. Having formed in London in 1981, Test Department quickly became part of an experimental industrial music scene that included groups across Britain and Europe such as Throbbing Gristle, Cabaret Voltaire, Einsters Ender Neubauten, and Liebach. Test Departments were overtly committed to music as political event, playing benefit gigs during the miners' strike of 1984, as well as anti-nuclear events and demonstrations opposing the 1994 Criminal Justice and Public Order Act. On Pax Britannica, Test Department was accompanied by the Scottish Chamber Orchestra and the Schola Cantorum Edinburgh Orchestra, with a score provided by John Ecutt and conducted by James McMillan. Part of the soundtrack was performed as a live event at the Second Coming Show in the St. Roloch's Railway Works in Glasgow, and live recordings were released the following year on the album Proven in Action. Jerusalem, as part of Movement 1, is one of the most astonishing versions of the Parry Blake hymn for a very simple reason. While the opening two verses appear little more than a particularly bombastic rendition of the Elgar arrangement, a crescendo after the line "Among these dark satanic mills" announces a radical break in the music. Now the heavy percussion becomes more dominant, and Blake's words are replaced by the voice of Margaret Thatcher, lines from a speech delivered to the Conservative Party conference in October 1989. Conserving
what is best, the values of our way of life, the beauties of our country.
Delivered at the Winter Gardens, Blackpool, on October the 13th, the theme of Thatcher's speech, as recorded in the archive of the Margaret Thatcher Foundation, was the triumph of freedom. Dealing with the failure of Eastern Bloc socialism that was becoming evident everywhere in 1989, Margaret Thatcher contrasted those flaws with a decade of Conservative triumphs in the economy, healthcare, choice and the environment. With the Berlin Wall about to crumble and the 10th anniversary of her election as Prime Minister, it appeared self-evident to Thatcher that the triumph of freedom was synonymous with the victories of the Conservatives, the election of whom in 1979, she declared, was one of the immediate causes of the decline of communism. The transformations across Europe, which led to the fall of the Soviet bloc, appeared in many ways an endorsement of the policies pursued by Thatcher and other Western leaders. In truth, its rapid collapse was also immensely destabilizing, and the Prime Minister herself was running into difficulties, central to these being the community charge. Against evident unpopularity facing its introduction into England and Wales in April 1990, Thatcher decided to champion it personally, leading to the formation of a number of anti-poll tax unions which organised protests and demonstrations, the largest of which took place in London on March 31st, where more than 200,000 protesters attended and violent rioting and clashes with the police occurred.
The decade and the century which open up before us must see the lasting triumph of liberty, our common cause. The world needs Britain, and Britain needs us to make that happen.
The threat of widespread unrest was only dispersed by the resignation of Thatcher after a leadership contest in November 1990. Although the Conservatives actually increased their vote in Scotland in 1992, the implementation of the charge there a year earlier as an experiment had consolidated the view of the party as more interested in England than the rest of the Union, making mainstream demands for devolution inevitable and a mockery of the Prime Minister's remark that Britain needs us. This is the background to the version of Jerusalem included on Pax Britannica. The album had actually been in planning for some time, but when recording began at the Carver Sound workshops in Glasgow in the winter of 1989-90, the political situation in Britain and Europe had become much more volatile. The decision to record with Scottish orchestras itself became more significant, as opposition to the poll tax had begun with its introduction in Scotland, adding emphasis to the album's critique of Tory imperialism within Britain. This was not the only use of the Blake Parry hymn in such circumstances. In May 1990, Billy Bragg released his album The Internationale, which included a version of Jerusalem as one of several songs attacking the government of the day. The comparison between the Bragg and Test Department versions is revealing. Bragg's is one of the simplest ever to have been recorded, consisting of his voice accompanied by a piano, and perhaps the closest to Parry's original arrangement.
And did thou speak in ancient time, walk upon England's mound? And was the holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen?
The version of Jerusalem by Test Department, by contrast, is an overblown and bombastic treatment of the Elgar arrangement that is most familiar to listeners from last night of the proms, allowing no restraint whatsoever in its deployment of orchestral and choral effects. Without the sample of Margaret Thatcher's speech, it would be no more than a particularly aggressive rendition of English patriotism. Yet, of course, that single intervention is what transforms the Blake Parry hymn into a grotesque and particularly fascinating spectacle. Test Department breaks the back of Jerusalem, splits it into two parts, so that the embedded nationalism of that hymn, accumulated over decades and intensified in many quarters of British society during the 1980s, is parodied by Thatcher's triumphalism. Billy Bragg's aim had been, and continues to be, to recuperate Jerusalem as a song of the left. Test Department's ambition, by contrast, was to exacerbate the hymn's totalitarian qualities, committing an act of violence to make explicit the repressive tendencies of the authorities. The combination of the first two verses of Jerusalem and the extracts of the Prime Minister's speech may be read in several ways. It is possible that Blake's text serves as an implicit contradiction of Margaret Thatcher's words, a rebuke to her singular vision of post-imperial glory. Alternatively, both work in parallel, buttressed by the swagger of Elgar's arrangements, so that the jingoism implicit in Jerusalem is made explicit by the Thatcher speech. As the Prime Minister became increasingly unpopular, her moment of triumph a high point of hubris before the coming fall, so any lingering beauty in the hymn becomes unbearable, splintered by an interruption that for the typical audience of test departments at the time would have provoked intensely forceful reactions. In their version of the hymn, the rhetoric of power of the state is symbolically assumed and extravagantly celebrated, taken at face value so that it cannot be ignored and, through ironic deprecation, be allowed to continue. By recasting Jerusalem as a nationalist hymn, there is no saving grace in hoping for salvation by an alternative, national, socialism. The atrocity is made manifest, defined as error the more clearly to be accepted or rejected.